Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Disclosure is not just an attack on America's foreign policy interests. It is an attack on the international community. The alliances and partnerships, the conversations and negotiations that safeguard global security and advance economic prosperity.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave.
It is the Savage Nation, and of course there's only one story, and that is the story of the subversion, the terrorism of the WikiLeaks and Wikipedia folks. Now, I say that because I believe there's a link between the two, although I cannot prove it, nor am I making such an allegation. I believe that both organizations should be investigated to the full extent of the law. I believe that the vermin who runs WikiLeaks should be arrested for terrorism. I think it should be tried for treason. And I will tell you something else. Many of you are celebrating the transparency that you are witnessing by the release of these 250,000 State Department cables, which cover virtually everything on the global stage, so you think. But I will be the first one, although not the last one, in the American media to make the following observation. The thing that separates Michael Savage from everybody else is that I see things differently, and I express them directly. Now, you're sitting there, and if you're a left-winger, you're celebrating that this little twerp, as Sang, has released these documents which allegedly embarrassed the United States of America in particular. Really embarrassed the United States of America. What you're not seeing is the other side of the moon. This piece of vermin, this is committed a worse piece of treason. This is the biggest act of treason I've ever seen in my life, and we have a wimpy response from Eric Holder, a mealy-mouthed response from Hillary Clinton, no response from the basketball player, virtually a government that's incapable of responding as it should respond, instantly arresting this rat, trying him for treason, and I will tell you why. You're sitting there celebrating, saying, but look what we've learned. Michael, don't get so excited. He's done you a favor. We've learned all this about Russia and about Saudi Arabia and that when Iran obtained missiles from North Korea and that Hillary Clinton ordered diplomats to spy on UN leaders and that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia said plant ships and Gitmo prisoners. We've done so with Falcons. And by the way, I agree with the king. The king turns out to be the smartest of all of them. That's why he's still a king. The reason he's the king of Saudi Arabia is because he's smarter than everybody else. Presidents may come and presidents may go. Prime ministers may come and prime ministers may go. But kings don't change. The king is smarter than all of them put together. He said put chips in the Gitmo prisoners upon release. Very interesting, that statement. I read that one. Unto itself, it's all very interesting. But what none of you are seeing, and I'm going to challenge you right now, I'm going to challenge all of you left-wing geniuses, all of you left-wing lawyers, I'm going to challenge all of you genius lawyers out there, particularly in New York City, all you left-wing fanatics who like Woody Allen and Larry David, who don't realize that you're digging your own grave with your liberalism. I'm going to challenge all of you smart boys who are so smart because you own the judges in New York. You're so smart because you can stack a jury in New York. You're so smart because you wrote the laws that you used to wreck the country, but you're not so smart when you're not on your own playing field. I found none of you lawyers are that smart when you don't control the game. When you're out there in the real world, you're not that smart, you're not that powerful. So here it comes. This is my challenge to all of you smart boys in New York City with law degrees who think you're such smart, advanced progressives. I challenge you now. Every one of these leaks that I have seen, I haven't seen them all, I've read most of the headlines in here in the United Kingdom, embarrass those who are pro-war, embarrass those who are fighting the war against Muslim terrorism, embarrass those who are nationalistic. Not one of these encrypted cables or encrypted emails embarrasses anyone who is a liberal. I have not seen one that embarrasses anyone who is a liberal. I have not seen one email that has been released by this gutter snipe from WikiLeaks that embarrasses any part of the left-wing agenda. Every one of these encrypted emails that has been released by this rat pack is intended to advance the radical leftist agenda worldwide, the socialist agenda that I spell out in Trickle Up Poverty. Not one of them embarrasses a liberal, a socialist, or a leftist that I know of. Case in point, Michael Savage was banned in Britain in 2008. You say, well, you don't want to hear about it? You're going to hear about it. How is it possible that the only member of the American media to have been banned from entering England, Michael Savage, banned by the United Kingdom government in 2008, it was originally done, by the way, during the Bush administration, during the reign of Bush, who I criticized continuously. I am convinced it was Bush and Condoleezza Rice in consort with those in the United Kingdom. How is it possible that not one email released by these rats in WikiLeaks covers that particular incident? After all, it's not an insignificant incident. It's a very significant incident when you ban an American member of the, you want to call me a commentator community, whatever you want to say. I'm not allowed to enter England. They linked me up with a Hamas murderer who smashed in a child's head with a rifle butt in front of his parents. Smashed in a little Jewish girl's head with a rifle butt in front of her parents and then killed them. They put me on the same list as murderers who killed immigrants and skinheads in Russia who were in prison. You don't care about it, but you better listen to what I'm saying to you. How is it possible that not one encrypted email has been released from the UK government about this incident? The answer is because the vermin in WikiLeaks do not want to embarrass the socialist rats who did this to me. They do not want to embarrass Gordon Brown. They don't want to embarrass the former Home Secretary. But more importantly, they don't want to embarrass their fellow travelers in the United States State Department, who no doubt work in this dastardly act against Michael Savage. Now, I can only speak about my case. What about the many other cases that would have embarrassed or would embarrass, should they be released, of the left wing? Where have you seen one of them? I am challenging all you smart boys from NYU and Columbia, all you smart little leftists who love Woody Allen, and you think that all of those guys are so smart, those Brooklyn anti-Americans. All of those of you who love Woody Allen, where are you now that we need you? What's the matter? You don't own the judge? You're afraid to stand up here on the Savage Nation and take my challenge? Where are you now? It's 6:15 in New York City. You're riding around in a car. You're listening to me because I remind you of your father or your uncle, who you know was 100 times smarter than you and better than you. You know you're a rat who hates this country. And you know that I know that most of you are deranged from all the drugs you used all your life. You know that I know that the marijuana and the Prozac has rotted your brain out. But you think that you're a tough guy because you go into court, you own judge this, you own judge that. You can stack the jury. You get a sane person who looks like a cop or a Marine, and you exclude him from the jury. So you think you're smart. Why don't you call the show now and prove me wrong? Show me one cable that was released that embarrasses a leftist or the socialist agenda. And I'll give you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. I'll be right back. In the midst of discussing the WikiLeaks phenomenon and how it seems to me virtually every encrypted email that was released by these left-wing vermin in WikiLeaks simply advances the left-wing agenda and attacks anything that is nationalistic or pro-war, I would like to focus your attention for a moment upon that pile of pus in Portland, the Portland pile of pus from Somalia, who tried to blow up a Christmas tree and kill men, women, and children. This Portland pile of pus from Somalia was said to have said to the FBI agent who was working undercover He said, I want whoever is attending that event to leave either dead or injured of the 25,000 people expected to take part in the event. The lead headline about this story on michaelsavage.com says the Muslim who tried to blow up the Christmas tree in Portland, one of the reasons he did it in Portland is because the psychotics who run Portland, or ran Portland in 05, refused to permit city law enforcement officers to participate in a key anti-terror initiative. That was the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. And yet it was the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force that helped prevent what would have been a horrific terrorist attack in Portland. But the city of Portland, Oregon, said, no, you're not going to use that or to snoop on Muslims or to do profiling. We don't want them to help anybody. We're going to tell the Portland police to not do anything. So this pile of pus from Portland, Mr. Muhammad, a Somali-born, naturalized U.S. citizen brought in by liberalism, who attended Oregon State University, told undercover FBI agents he dreamed of committing jihad. He knows what jihad means. Janet Napolitano does not. He dreamed of performing acts of jihad. He knows what jihad means, but Eric Holder doesn't know what jihad means. He knows what jihad means, but Obama doesn't know what jihad means. He dreamed of performing acts of jihad in which hundreds, perhaps thousands of Americans would die. Here is what your peace-loving Muslim would have to say to the FBI agent. Do you remember when 9/11 happened, he said, when those people were jumping from skyscraper? Muhammad asked the agents, according to the affidavit. Muhammad said, I thought that was awesome. He went to OS, Oregon State University, at your expense. He and his family were brought in from Somalia at your expense. The police in Portland were prohibited from cooperating with the Joint Terrorism Task Force by the vermin in Portland, Oregon, who were so liberal and so politically correct. When he was asked, by the way, why he was going to perform such an act in Portland, Oregon, you know what he said, basically? He said, oh, in Portland, Muhammad replied. He said, they don't see it as a place where anything will happen. People say, you know, why anybody would want to do something in Portland? It's on the West Coast. It's in Oregon. And Oregon's like, you know, nobody ever thinks about it. And of course, Oregon is so good. The people of Portland are so liberal and so politically fine that no terrorist would ever want to blow them up. You see how that works? And so therefore, we see what liberalism has brought in Portland and elsewhere. Was it not for the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force? This pile of pus from Portland just might have gone ahead and gotten explosives that worked and killed God knows how many hundreds of thousands, including you and your children. Go take a look at this beautiful, peace-loving practitioner on the michaelsavage.com. Take a look at his curled lips, because he knows that he's going to have a pack of lawyers from NYU, from Harvard, from Princeton, from Yale, from all of the lowest institutions on earth, to defend him and say he was simply a misunderstood immigrant who was picked on because of his race. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Michael in New York, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I thought this thing was a crock from the beginning because nobody ever mentioned encryption until you just did now. But
You're talking about the WikiLeaks thing.
Right, exactly.
Okay, all of these leaked pieces were encrypted emails. Now, what are you suggesting about the encryption? I'm not quite following you.
Well, I mean, I encrypt my email to customers, and you know, my bank statements are probably encrypted. Nobody finds them. But your point that that none of these have harmed the left is just brilliant. I mean, just...
Well, have you seen one that harmed the left? I haven't. They're all harming anyone who is nationalistic, anyone who is in favor of taking on the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, anyone, whether it be Arab or non-Arab, who wants to attack Iran is attacked by these left-wing fanatics. So I see things that no one else sees.
Absolutely. I mean, it's devastatingly brilliant to me. I mean...
Well, coming from you, I accept that as a good compliment.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. I mean, you know, I'm living in a world where people don't really see what's going on. They jump at the bait. They go for the WikiLeaks bait. The New York Times leaps at it, Drudge leaps at it, and there's no insight as to what they're even doing. They don't even see that they're advancing the left-wing cause. Well, the New York Times does, but I would have expected more from some of the websites that were leaking these without putting them in context, as I just did.
Absolutely. I saw it as a crock, but I just didn't see it as clearly as you did. You're brilliant.
Well, you know, there was a French poet in the 1900s, Mallarmé, who wrote that the purpose of the... I'm not a poet, but I'm going to use that insight. The purpose of the poet, or the writer, if you will, is to give more clarity to the words of the tribe. I don't remember the French right now. I don't want to bangle it. But what he was saying is, my job as a talk show host is to make more clear to you and everyone else what you're thinking. You don't have the time to focus on this like I do, like a laser beam. I run a laser on these stories. This is all I do. You got to remember, you know, Michael, you're a guy who runs your business and uses your intelligence to survive and run your family and keep yourself healthy. And so you look at this and you think about it, but then you run to the next thing. I only do this. This is all I do, Michael. And so if I don't do this, I'm failing at my job. You follow me?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Well, you got a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty coming for the holidays. That's right. There you go. 1-800-449-8255. Michael in New York sees what I see. 1-800-449-8255. Chicago, Bill, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
It's Phil, Michael. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I just like to say I think you're not pushing this even hard enough because I caught a news blip saying that all our CIA and FBI agents are going to be on a need-to-know basis after this incident, which tells
I do not know what you're saying. I have no idea what you just said. What? The FBI agents will be on a what?
There was a news blip in Chicago.
You know what? I don't like this kind of call. I don't have the patience for it. You know, buddy ate some fish over the weekend instead of tryptophan rich turkey, and he's still half asleep. This is national radio. They should say it all in 10 seconds or don't have them on. I'd rather you just book the Mantovani song.
Savage.
I will continue to be playing basketball whenever I get a chance. In fact, I played yesterday with Sasha and Malia, and they took it easy on me because they were feeling pity.
That's his response to the WikiLeaks disaster, that our president will continue to play night basketball in the White House with his children. That's who we have. You know, there used to be a thing, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. I mean, you can make this one up yourself. Maybe in history they'll come to understand what we have inherited here through the stupidity of the American people and the meltdown of the economy orchestrated by the Managed Funds Association, according to what I have been able to determine, as I spell out in the Wall Street chapter in Trickle Up Poverty. This is what they gave us. I don't know whether the man has any understanding of what people think of him, not only domestically but internationally. We have the largest leak of private, secretive, diplomatic cables in history. 250,000 dispatches, and the president thinks that by talking about his night basketball schedule, we're going to suddenly fall in love with him all over again. King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia suggested that Guantanamo Bay inmates be implanted with an electronic chip containing information about them and allowing their movements to be tracked with Bluetooth. He noted that this was done with horses and falcons. That's why he's king. Perhaps he can be an advisor to our current national security advisor, whose name I do not even know. And so, therefore, that's the trouble we are in. The King of Saudi Arabia has also begged the U.S. government repeatedly to get rid of the Hitler of our time. I don't know whether he's listened to the show with the king, but the man is a very brilliant man because he seems to be quoting me when he calls him the Hitler of our time, which is very interesting. Now you say, well, how is that possible when in another cable we see that the Saudi Arabia has been funding Al-Qaeda? That's another one. How's that possible? 1-800-449-8255. So here's some of the questions for those of you who are really into the news. What did you find the most surprising of all of the WikiLeaks? Did you look at them? And we know that secrecy is important, but how much secrecy is important and how much transparency do we really want? And why has more information been leaked under Obama than under any other president? What do you feel will be the most detrimental consequence of the, of these leaks? Who do you blame the most for these leaks? And do we need any more proof that being a liberal will not protect you from terrorism than looking at the Portland bombing attempt? Victorville, California. Daniel, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I wanted to address that WikiLeaks is most likely a complex psychological operations tool of the U.S. intelligence community itself. Because what it actually does is with these hundreds of thousands of meaningless documents that are only classified at the secret level, there is many that are probably put in there that it's salted with the forgeries. And so what it mainly does is it picks out the enemies of the neocons that are, you know, currently not ascendant in the U.S. and emphasizes everything that they might do. You know,
wait. You're saying that these leaks embarrassed the conservatives?
Yes.
Have any of these leaks embarrassed the liberal left?
Oh, probably not.
Okay, so we basically agree on that point. Then why would the CIA attack the conservative movement and not the liberal movement?
Oh, this there's a lot of things need to happen to keep the pot boiling. As we have the imposter in the White House, and so what you have to do is keep the electorate of the citizens divided against each other. So they'll focus on, say, the war reports of Iraq that will show battlefield activities, you know, spur of the moment actions by common soldiers happening over there by the hundreds of thousands. And so they naturally, conservatives will have to side with the soldiers and then be blamed for, you know, whatever appears in these minor reports.
Well, all right. Well, it's interesting that some of these cables or emails, encrypted emails, attacked Vladimir Putin, who was a nationalist, but he's also our enemy in a way, because apparently Russia supplied some of the missiles to Iran.
Yes, there's been activity with the Russians doing that.
And then there's a release about Silvio Berlusconi of Italy and Putin. And why would they want to embarrass Berlusconi is obvious, because he's a very powerful conservative in Italy, and he's hated by the Communist Socialist Front, not only in Italy, but in the worldwide Communist Socialist Front. But I don't see any of these cables that seem to embarrass anyone on the liberal side. Do you?
No, because there are, I think, genuine liberal positions that you know, we would associate with, say, New Deal policies are totally extinct in the United States. Well, you know, what you have in the world of liberals is the totalitarian liberalism of John Maynard Keynes.
Okay, I agree with that 100%, because true liberalism I could live with. None of this is liberalism. It's all socialism and communism.
Yes, and a comment on Berlusconi is that the primary reason that he would be singled out for attack is he is working with Vladimir Putin to finish the South Stream pipeline, which is going to go from Russian territory across Turkey and into Italy. And this is in direct competition with the Anglo-American pipeline called Nabucco. So if you can bring down the Berlusconi government, you may be able to scuttle that pipeline deal and get a rival one built.
Let's pause for a moment. Back in the late 90s, I wrote an article for Newsmax saying the oily tracks run through Kosovo. And it was about the, not the Trans-Siberian pipeline, but it was to bring Caspian oil into Europe. But the pipeline had to run through Kosovo, which is why Bill Clinton took down Serbia. It had nothing to do with human rights abuses. It had everything to do with seizing Kosovo from Serbia. Are you aware of any of this?
Yes, I have a great deal of knowledge about the intelligence activities that were going on in Yugoslavia during the 1990s.
Am I off on that, or do you think that my assessment is correct?
It's very good. It's the reason that you're citing is probably a true one, but it may not be the only one. Because
that's interesting. No, it never is the only one. There's always a multiplicity of events or reasons for any kind of political act. I understand that, but there was definitely a seizure of the Kosovo, which had been part of Serbia since the 1300s, and it was orchestrated by Bill Clinton and the New World Order, namely this character Holbrooke, who actually gives me the chills. If I were to paint a villain in a novel, I would probably model it on a character along the lines of Holbrooke, only because he actually makes my hair stand up every time I see him speak.
Oh, something great about Holbrooke is you may be interested in it. So you have the general milieu of what's going on in Yugoslavia at that time. And now who do we find as the ambassador at large in the AFPAC region? It's Richard Holbrooke. he's there again. So you're going to.
And of course, who was the Secretary of State at that time? It was none other than the ultimate creepy, Madeleine Albright, another worldwide creep.
Yes, the Mad Hatter was deeply involved in breaking up the territorial integrity of the.
Yes, and now she's busily trying to advance China's goals. Is she not, along with old Henry Kissinger and old Bob Dole? Isn't she involved in her own way, along with Sandy Berger, all seeing what they can get out of the China deals?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, Henry Kissinger, you know, back from the Nixon days, was involved in playing the China card against the Soviet Union. And he was great friends along with George Herbert Walker Bush with Mao Zedong. They met personally many times before he died.
Oh, yes. And they ignored the 60 million Chinese killed by Mr. Mao. It seems to me that you are living in a remote part of California, but yet you seem to be deeply involved in world politics. It seems to me that you have a lot of knowledge, and I would not press any further, Daniel, but is there anything else you'd like to disclose at this time about the WikiLeaks case in particular?
The thing about WikiLeaks is when people want to know about that, you got to look into the background of Julian Assange himself. You know, he's a strange, picaresque figure. He's raised in a cult environment in Australia. You know, around the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a lot of these cults in the English-speaking world have deep intelligence connections, just like the People's Temple. So I'd be very, very suspicious of everything coming out of there. And if people are also interested, they can look at the other members of WikiLeaks and what they have to say about Julian Assange before we just believe what comes out. So I think.
Daniel, come on! You're an insightful guy. You're holding a lot back. There's more in what you are not saying than in what you are saying. And I know you're doing it for your own reasons, but you have a national audience right now. What do you think would advance America's national security interests in terms of what you know and what you'd like to say? There must be something more.
Okay, the number one way is we have to end these wars. We're bleeding ourselves dry in Iraq and in Afghanistan. We have to reindustrialize the United States by any means necessary. You know, that means the end of globalization. That means you got to bring back Glass-Steagall. You got to stop the banks. If you're not fighting the banks, you're wasting your time.
You know, but Daniel, what you're saying, a lot of it I say in my own book, Trickle Up Poverty. I say the very same thing. Maybe it sounds odd to people, but that's basically what I'm calling for. Look at the bailout of Ireland that's going on right now. Germany itself may collapse as a result of the need to bail out Ireland and Spain and then Portugal. How are they going to afford this? So the hardworking Germans are being forced to bail out the lazy loser nations of Europe? What is that all about? You can tell us that, I'm sure.
Yes, actually I can, because what we have in Greece, you know, this the incredibly offensive term they use for the cradle of Western civilization is the pigs. You know, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, Spain. You know, only
wait a minute, I never heard that one. Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. Interesting. Who came up with that one?
Goldman Sachs.
Okay, let's go on. Okay, please go on. It's very funny.
Yeah, the guy from a French bank had a different anagram for GIPSI, the gypsy, they call it. But so what you have here is not a sovereign debt crisis. This is a private banking crisis. Because you have, say, Ireland's, their deficit is 50% of GDP. This is all going to the banks. This is private banks. And most of the bonds of the private Irish banks are held in the City of London. So really, the collapse of the Irish banking system is going to take the City of London down with it. And so the bailout is not bailing out the Irish government or any kind of lazy union workers or anybody like that. You know, it's a large chunk of this is going directly into the banking system.
So the gangster bankers who created the entire crisis are getting bailed out with German money?
Well, see, it's not just German money. That would be bad enough because that's a European thing. But this is IMF money. And the United States contributes 17 or 18% of the IMF's money. So this is U.S. taxpayer money going to bail out corrupt private offshore banks in Europe.
Yes. Right. And who is behind most of these banks? Isn't it the same group of puppeteers? A few people, that is?
Yeah, around. I mean, historically, you could trace this back to the Lombard and Venetian banking movements of the Middle Ages. But in recent times, say in New York, you got about six money center banks, which their names we've all heard: J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, and then you have several large banks in Europe altogether. So they have, as a we have to think about things in terms of class, like Plato or Machiavelli would. So these people are they're acting in their own class interest. And this is not, you know, not Marxist-Leninist stuff. Think about it like Plato would. He would say, we got people that are, they have all the same ideology. They have the same view of right and wrong, the same view of the value of human life of poor people in different countries. So even though they're all a world elite, they're all the same.
Well, as I put it, it says those who conspire to create the financial meltdown have something in common. They're either affiliated with or in the hip pocket of the Managed Fund Association, MFA. I call them the puppet masters in trickle-up poverty. Are you in accord with my assessment or not?
The only thing I would say about like modern creation sector, that fund association is it's a front group. Like say, the Federal Reserve is just a bank holding company. You know, it's part of the problem, but it's these are facades put up kind of like a mud flap.
You know, what about my allegations that the Bilderberg Group is involved with this?
Yes, the Bilderberg Group, with its steering committee of 39 members, including the Queen of the Netherlands, Henry Kissinger, and others, it's basically a gaggle of financiers and intelligence specialists from around the world, and not around the world. It's from the Anglo-American world, so Western Europe. You have some Japanese, a few Indians, but there's not even a single Russian member allowed to be in there.
So do you know that I actually list in Trickle Up Poverty on pages 88 and 89? The members of the Bilderberg Group who attended the U.S. meeting in 2010. I have the names there. I mean, are you aware of that?
Oh, I didn't know. Actually, I don't have your book. But
well, yeah. You're going to get one, but I'm going to read you some of them. Those attending the Bilderberg meeting in 2010 included Roger Altman, chairman, Evercore Partners, Sonia Ariston, author and policy analyst, Timothy Collins, Martin Feldstein, George Baker, Niall Ferguson, I know some of these names ring a bell, Lawrence A. Tisch, William Gates, does that make sense? William Gates, of course, would ring a bell, wouldn't he?
Yes, of
course. The same William Gates whose father is now calling for a taxation in the state of Washington after he's made his fortune. Richard Holbrooke, I think that name rings a bell. Henry Kissinger, that rings a bell, doesn't it? Henry Kravis of Kohlberg Kravis Roberts. There are about 50 names in there, and most of them are also co-members of the Council on Foreign Relations. So would you say that that is a good pocket list of those who are behind the New World Order and also behind the bailout of these banks in Ireland, and as you allege, somewhat involved in the WikiLeaks scandal?
Yes, you could say all the people you mentioned are, generally speaking, they're in the Anglo-American ruling class type of people. Some are more powerful than others. Like Bill Gates, even though his personal money is pretty great, he's less powerful than somebody like Richard Holbrooke, of course, or Henry Kissinger.
Well, let me ask you this. When I say, what does all of this have to do with the financial crisis that sent Wall Street reeling out of control and gave us Obama as a result of the crisis? I allege that the run in the American economy was ultimately a conspiracy designed to elect a leftist globalist president of the United States. Do you agree with that?
I think what we're dealing with is so opposite that it's easy to make the mistake. What I would say is that, you know, Obama is he's a puppet of Wall Street. So what you have is, by the definition of Benito Mussolini, this is the fascist corporate state. He is not a liberal.
That's obvious. I don't think a true liberal would attend a meeting on green energy in a car called the Beast, while other heads of state were driving around in little tiny green cars the size of golf carts. Nor would he fly around the world with the three Air Force planes, et cetera, with such an entourage if he was truly a man of the people. But let's put that aside. We know who Obama is and who he isn't. Can we focus for a moment on the WikiLeaks story? You alleged that the CIA, when you came on this show, you said that the WikiLeaks organization is a CIA story. Is that what you're still alleging?
Yes, and the reason that...
Hold on. Daniel, this is so important, so I'm going to ask you to please bear with me. Stay on the line. When I come back, would you please continue and answer for the people what the CIA would be wanting to do in releasing these 250,000 cables? I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about the WikiLeaks scandal, the greatest leak of classified documents in American history, maybe world history. And we have a president saying he'll continue to play night basketball after his lip was cut in a game over Thanksgiving weekend. We have a caller who alleges that the CIA controls WikiLeaks. Daniel, welcome back to the program. What would the CIA gain, for example, by saying that the Saudi king urged Washington to bomb Iran? How does that fit into your theory?
The CIA is a policy tool for very powerful people that are involved in controlling it from certain factions. So for the example of the Saudi Arabia deal is you have most neocons are also joined at the hip with the Israel lobby, like the hard Likud Israel lobby in IPAC. So it's a policy of them to also attack Iran. So that's why this would be highlighted within hundreds of thousands of documents. This is what shows up in the media that says you should immediately attack Iran, a nation of 70 million people, when you have a bankrupt economy and an overstretched military that cannot do it. So it's a ruinous policy, and the only way to bring that into the public discourse is through a complex psychological operation tool like this. It can't be brought up by anybody in a respectable way.
So you think this is a subtext of the government's desires put out through these leaks? In essence, they want us to see what they're really thinking.
Yes, the very hard right neocon, you know, warmonger faction. Because you have
Wait. Most of these cables attack anything that is pro-war, is what I said at the beginning. I see none of it attacking the liberal left socialist agenda. None of the leaked documents, for example, talk about anything that would make anyone on the left look bad.
Yes, they attack in a way. They attack people that are in favor of the war on a very surface.
All right, think about that, Daniel. You're welcome to call us back in the next hour. I don't think you've made your case. Thank you for the call.
Savage.
Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Late yesterday, more than 200,000 State Department documents turned up on a website called WikiLeaks.
This is very, very damaging to the United States.
It also hurts the human rights activists.
Collect the credit card and frequent flyer information of foreign diplomats there.
The American people are very proud of their transparent political system.
The individuals responsible are going to have blood on their hands.
The embarrassment, the damage.
Open and transparent government is something that the president believes is truly important, but
as a spy, aiding and abetting the enemy.
Classified information and its dissemination is a crime.
That person shall be guilty of espionage.
They know the impact it's going to have against the United States. They know it helps groups like Al-Qaeda.
Capture him and bring him to justice on espionage.
That will be used to kill Americans and carry out attacks against the United States.
I will continue to be playing basketball whenever I get a chance. In fact, I played yesterday with Sasha and Malia, and they took it easy on me because they were feeling pity.
Blue Monday, Blue Monday. Got to work, flag or sleeve on deep.
It is the newly renewed Savage Nation, spiritually renewed by the turkey and its chestnuts and whatever. Here we have the largest leak of classified documents in the history of diplomacy. And we have a president who plays night basketball. Nero fiddled while Rome burned, and President Obama plays night basketball while America basically yearns, that is, for leadership. So you look at the WikiLeaks story, and you're all screaming treason, espionage, hang him from the highest lamppost. I agree with you, but for different reasons. The thing that you have not seen, I'm the only one who has seen this so far, I'm sure it'll be stolen before I finish this breath. I am positive you'll hear it from the golfer in the morning, I'm positive it's being given to him as a position paper so he can sound very brilliant. Yes, yes, the man who sees it all. But Michael Savage is the first one to see it all. Never the last to see it all. I'm challenging you again in this hour. The leaks that you have seen, the WikiLeaks story, we see that Saudi Arabia urged Washington to bomb Iran. Not to bomb Iran, but to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities, by the way. You better be very clear about what he did. He didn't say kill Iranian people. He said, make sure that you bomb the Iranian nuclear facilities. I agree with the king. He said, get rid of Mohammed, the Hitler of our time. Take down the head of the snake. It could be right out of my book, Trickle Up Poverty. Maybe the king's smart enough to have read the book. In fact, if he called the show, I'd be glad to send one to a palace in Saudi Arabia. We learned that Iran smuggled arms to Hezbollah on ambulances. We learned that Iran obtained missiles from North Korea. So you say, well, okay. What are you saying, Michael? Virtually every one of these disclosures is anti-war, anti-conservative, anti-nationalist nationalism. I have not seen one encrypted cable, or one encrypted email, that is, that embarrasses one leftist or one portion, or one iota, I should say, of the leftist agenda. Perhaps you disagree with me. And if you can't prove that I'm wrong, then I'm right. And if I'm right, it means that this is a vast conspiracy of the left to take down anyone who is nationalistic or wishes to protect their nationhood from worldwide terrorism. More than 250,000 dispatches thus far released. Everyone's screaming and yelling. But look who's getting attacked. And look who's not getting attacked. I also allege that although I am not an important man, I am a member of the American media. I have the third largest radio show in the country. I was banned from entering the United Kingdom in the year 2008. The ban went in effect in 2008, but it was plotted and hatched in 2007 when George Bush was president, who I was roundly criticizing for the last 2 years of his regime. I know Bush has had a rebirth now because of hacks like Hannity and the others who can do see him doing no harm. Suddenly he's a wonderful, great man, the man who basically wrecked the economy. George Bush is the man who gave us Hank Paulson. George Bush is the man who created this a private bank nightmare that we have. George Bush is the man who gave us Christopher Cox, who destroyed the uptick rule and permitted Wall Street to go on a rampage against the American people. Yes, it was all George Bush. And it was George Bush, I allege, and his cohorts, Condoleezza Rice and others, who conspired with England to ban Michael Savage from England, to punish me, to make me spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, and to destroy me spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And not one of the WikiLeaks documents is about this case. You say, well, it's not that important. I think it is that important. And even if it's not that important, certainly the documents exist. You understand what I just said to you? I don't think you understand what I'm even saying to you. The documents within the United Kingdom. Let's say I'm wrong about the conspiracy, that nobody in the U.S. government had anything to do with it. Well, then the documents would exist within the United Kingdom's government itself under Gordon Brown, who was a lifetime radical leftist liar, right? How come not one of those documents was released by the WikiLeaks people? Because it would have made Michael Savage look like he is a victim of the left wing, the radical left wing socialist agenda. Don't you understand that? In my book, Banned in Britain, which I'm not selling to you, which was out 2 years ago, you see emails that we got through the Freedom of Information Act, which show Gordon Brown himself complicit in banning Michael Savage from England. And yet not one of these emails was released by WikiLeaks. Why? Because it would make Michael Savage look good. And it would make Gordon Brown look bad. It would not advance the internationalist leftist agenda. And so I say to you, be very, very careful before you jump onto the bandwagon of saying, oh, it's all bad and that everyone is damaged. No, not everyone is not damaged. I do not see one individual of the far left who is embarrassed at all by any of this. That's my allegation. If you care to comment on the WikiLeaks disaster, we can do so here on the Savage Nation. What we learned is pretty amazing so far. The desire on the part of the king to get rid of Ahmadinejad, to take down the nuclear plants in Iran. He knows what's going on. He understands that. And it's unbelievable to me when you read further and find out that the U.S. State Department is filled with these left-wing moles who are calling the king of Saudi Arabia and the others in the immediate royal family who want Iran taken down, calling them all sorts of names, bellicose and whatnot. But none of it embarrasses the left wing. None of it embarrasses the socialist agenda. None of it does so. American officials sharply warned Germany in 2007 not to enforce arrest warrants for CIA officers involved in a bungled operation in which an innocent German citizen with the same name as a suspected militant was mistakenly kidnapped and held for months in Afghanistan. Who does that make look bad? The CIA. Does it make anyone on the right wing look bad? I don't know, does it? Is the CIA a right-wing organization or a left-wing organization? When did the CIA become a left-wing organization as opposed to a right-wing organization? Many of you are still functioning in the past. Many of you still believe that the age of Daniel Ellsberg's Pentagon Papers are still valid. Many of you haven't kept up with the times, so you're still stuck in the past. It's as though you're a prehistoric animal that fell into amber, and you're still looking at the world through 1960s glasses given to you by the Beatles. We learned that Iran smuggled arms to Hezbollah on ambulances. Well, we knew that. The Israelis have known that for years. The Israelis have known that Hezbollah has benefited from the Red Crescent ambulance services. The Israelis have been screaming bloody murder to the UN to no avail for years about these frauds inside the ambulances, that the Palestinians were using the ambulances to smuggle arms. They said it for years, but you paid no attention. But why all of a sudden is it a story? Iran obtained missiles from North Korea. Again, who benefits and who loses by that? Iran obtained missiles from North Korea. Well, it's again, who is it hurting and who is it helping? Saudi king urged Washington to bomb Iran's nukes. Diplomats ordered to spy on allies as well as enemies. What's new about that? All governments have spied on all other governments from the beginning of time. That's why they're called governments. Let's go to the cause. Patricia in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
I would think, Michael, it would have to embarrass the leftist Marxist president of the United States. It may not embarrass the left as a movement, but the man who's holding the office just got an uppercut to his upper lip.
How?
Because it exposes what he's faced with. I don't think he really wanted people to know that there's a wink and a nod that if Israel launched an attack, it would be quite all right with the outlying states around Iran. And it embarrasses the Secretary of State herself, who's also a Marxist. Because they have to...
Wait. How does it embarrass Hillary Clinton? It only embarrasses her with regard to her desire to make war. It does not embarrass her with regard to any of her left-wing agenda, does it?
Oh, but...
Think of what I'm saying and think of what you're saying. Think of what I'm saying, alleging, and what you're saying. I'm alleging that every one of these leaks has been specifically selected to advance the left-wing agenda. So if it damages Hillary Clinton, it only damages her with regard to the parts of her that are somewhat nationalistic or protective of America's interests.
Yes, but hasn't it always been assumed that it's always the left-wingers who are the anti-war people?
Yeah, but, that's neither here nor there. That's a non sequitur. So you're agreeing with me that WikiLeaks is an anti-war organization that seeks to damage anybody who is pro-war on any level. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying, yes, that could be true, because I have...
All right, thanks for the call. Okay. Donnez plus clair le mot de la tribu. Those are the French words. They finally came back to me. For those of you who still speak French, I don't even know if they speak it in France anymore. I don't know if they're allowed to. Donnez plus clair le mot de la tribu. To give more clarity to the words of the tribe. That's what Mallarmé said is the purpose of the artist, the poet, the writer, the talk show host who didn't exist at the time, to make more clear the words of the tribe. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It understands that we are a responsible organization. So it's trying to make it as hard for us as possible to publish responsibly in the hope that it can get us to not publish anything at all. Because not publishing anything at all would mean not publishing the abuses by that organization.
Now you got it. That's the vermin behind WikiLeaks. That's the rat behind WikiLeaks who just gave himself away. The abuses. The American government's abuses again. This piece of garbage has committed 100 different crimes. If we had a real government, he'd be a... No, they bother themselves with people at airport scanners instead. They accuse you of terrorism for simply raising an objection to having your skirt lifted by a deviant in blue, with blue gloves who is spreading diseases around at an airport. One of the cables says that the U.S. has said that the Saudi donors are the chief financiers of Al-Qaeda. Let me repeat that. One of the cables that the New York Times refers to says that, in passing now, Saudi donors remain the chief financiers of Sunni militant groups like Al-Qaeda. Of course, there were no other details about the cable provided by the Stalinists at the New York Times. None. The reference cable is not linked. There's no specific language about this. Although the Times then reports it, we don't know if it's even real. So don't think that the New York Times is too far apart from their kissing cousin, Julian Assange, at WikiLeaks. In fact, I would be quite surprised that if Julian Assange were hunted down by one of the rogue agents of Russia or one of the rogue agents of any of the other countries that he has taken on. I don't know who this man thinks he is. I know he's suicidal. I'll tell you that right now. This man is a suicidal psychotic who is virtually asking a rogue element of one of these governments to be released to kill him. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope he's just tried for any crime he might have committed. But look at what this man has alleged against Russia, that they're in cahoots with the Russian mafia. Who does he think he is? How does he think he's going to get away with this? Who does he think is going to protect him? Does he assume he's bomb and bulletproof? There's not even a fine line between a freedom of speech and reality. It's a very, 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 very firm line with regard to freedom of speech. I know this very well. Trust me. There's certain areas that you have to be very, very delicate about. This man apparently doesn't care about these delicacies. In fact, he is actually wanting to commit suicide by email leaks. You've heard of suicide by cop. I believe this lunatic wants to commit suicide by email leak. U.S. says Saudi donors are chief financiers of Al-Qaeda, but there's no connection. And the New York Times picks up on that point and runs with it. New York City, WOR, Jimmy, you're up. Go ahead quickly, rapidly, fire away.
U.S. intelligence seems to have been set up to fail. Anybody involved in intelligence work should everything is supposed to be compartmentalized so no one person could create the kind of damage this guy did or tried to do. 22-year-old guy is an analyst. What does he know that he could be an analyst? This is absolutely insane that this guy...
You mean the soldier, the creep who should be tried as well for aiding and abetting the enemy and after the trial... who leaked it to Julian Assange. I understand you. What you're saying is why was he put in such a sensitive position is what you're saying, right, Jimmy?
Right. So the way he was set up, be in that position, it shows you U.S. intelligence has built-in weaknesses that makes a guy like him possible. I mean, it's incredible. You know, recently there was a guy who visited Obama in the White House. I don't know how this guy got past security. A guy named Cornel West, an admitted communist revolutionary.
Oh, please, don't even mention him. He's a laughing stock. The man is a parody of himself. A parody of himself. Cornel West is a cartoon. He's not even a human being.
But he said he liked...
He's a buffoon of the 1960s. He's a bad buffoon, a bad cartoon, a bad 60s leftover. He's a remnant of the 60s. You say, how did he get into the White House? Duh. Who do you think they are? They're any different, Jimmy?
He got past U.S. security.
Cornel West is just an unpolished version of Obama. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, he has a lot of influence among black...
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Savage.
And welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here's a little update from the PC police forces of the United States of America, where big men are no longer, let us say, desirable. They prefer small women, preferably those who don't speak English, to apply for the jobs. Manhunt for armed Santa Cruz inmate after escape. Authorities say a Santa Cruz, California county inmate has escaped custody using a stun gun on a sheriff's deputy taking her handgun. Her handgun. Ainsworth is a black man who's 6'7" and weighs 275 pounds. He was being transported by a female sheriff's deputy to Dominican Hospital in Santa Cruz for a medical procedure Monday when he escaped. Apparently, the gentleman overpowered the lady deputy, took her .40 caliber handgun and tased her. He allegedly shot at another person and ran away. That's what you get when you hire little women. Little women are good for storybooks. They're not good for police, particularly not for transporting 275-pound, 6'7" tall inmates who must be handled so gingerly according to the protocols of the liberal California laws. And that's what you get when you hire little women to do men's jobs. Kansas City, Josh, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to let you know that the Julian Assange guy, when just a little background on him, and I'm not saying Soros is behind this, but he, when the founder of WikiLeaks went to negotiate funding, he went and negotiated with the guys from OSI, which is the Open Society Institute, which is funded by George Soros.
And if you old Georgie's behind this in a distant way as well, his dirty money. The dirty money that he stole by betting against people's currencies. The man has never worked a day in his life, you know. George Soros never produced a product or a service anyone ever needed, in my opinion. He's made his money in the most degenerate way possible, which is through speculation. I have a very strong feeling about speculators, by the way. I don't like them. I never did. Never. Never. I don't like people who make their fortunes without working. I respect people who make fortunes through hard work or creating a product that somebody wanted or a service that somebody wanted. I detest people who make money simply by betting against the currency or betting against somebody's stock or by betting against a commodity. But anyway, I'm sorry for my own bias injected into the show. So old Georgie Soros with his billions of dollars, was he one of the funders of WikiLeaks, would you know?
I don't know for sure. I just know Open Society Institute, which he funds, that's who WikiLeaks founder negotiated funding for that website when they were doing it.
Open Society, meaning no borders, legalized drugs, no borders, meltdown nationalism, and suddenly everybody will be dancing together naked on the pyramids of Egypt.
Right, and one last quick thing for you, Michael. If you'll notice who Julian Assange's attorney is, it's Mark Stevens. How about this? He does pro bono work for Open Society Institute. Just to
that really is quite a connector. Julian Stevens. What's his old background?
No, Mark Stevens is from the old...
But I mean, Mark Stevens, what's his background? I mean, what more other than working for a Soros-connected group, what else is Mark Stevens known for or as?
He's the lawyer for Open Society Institute.
I understand. But did he do anything else that's wonderful for the world that I should know about? Did he cure polio or work for a group that saved elephants or anything like that?
No, useless things like SDS and MDS.
Oh, my God. He was in the SDS?
He worked with them. I don't know the exact connection.
One of those early radical lawyers who worked for the Students for the Democratic Society? Oh, my God. Their people are still around. You would have thought that they would have been gone by now, Josh.
They have an adult version called MDS now.
What is it called?
MDS.
What does M stand for?
You caught me off guard, and I'm trying to remember.
Monsters for a Democratic Society?
Probably.
You know, Mao Tse-tung was also attempting to create a democratic society. Unfortunately, he had to kill 60 million of his fellow Chinese to do so. Stalin wanted to create a more democratic society. He had to kill 30 million of his fellow Russians. And, of course, Hitler, as we well know, wanted to create a more democratic society. So he had to kill 30 million people to do so. Well, watch out when people say that they're for a democratic society. You understand all of that, of course, don't you, Josh?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's a new book out on Hitler and Stalin. I'm going to cover it tomorrow. That's simply astonishing. Most of the stereotypes about Stalin and Hitler are completely blown apart by this book. And Hitler and Stalin seem to be as almost two bookends in the atrocities that were committed. It's astonishing. It's an astonishing book. I'm going to cover it tomorrow. But in the interim, Josh, I am sending you a free copy of my masterpiece, Trickle Up Poverty. It'll be under your Christmas tree for the holidays. New York City, WOR, Sal, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm working hard to not be a sheeple, and I'm really surprised that you're buying this son of a cultist word as just irrefutable proof of the veracity of these cables. There's no way to independently verify them. This represents a perfect agitprop snowstorm.
So you're alleging, as a caller did earlier, that these were created by whom?
Who knows? That's
okay.
The beauty of
it. Well, okay, so you're in a conspiracy mode now that WikiLeaks doesn't really exist, or if it does, it's a front group for others who simply want us to take the bait, and that these encrypted cables or emails, rather, the encrypted emails are being put out there by a nefarious organization or group of people in order to trick us into what? What do they want us to believe?
Oh, I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, I'm agreeing with your point. Your point at the beginning of the program tonight was that nothing that's supposedly printed here affects anyone on the liberal side. I agree with you. This isn't. I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm saying that there's no way to prove anything. So this is an agitprop snowstorm, and we're all.
I really do want to follow you, honest to God. I mean, I almost get it, Sal. I know what you mean by agitprop, but it's being put out. Do we agree that it's being put out by the left in order to attack the conservatives worldwide?
Yes, but there's no way to verify the veracity of anything.
Because we don't know whether these cables actually exist.
Thank you. Or which ones do and which ones don't. Which is the meat and which is the fat? There's no way to understand which is which.
So let's start with the simple, basic, childish version of the question and answer period that we're about to have. Which side of the political aisle gets hurt most by these leaks, whether they're true or false?
The right side.
All right. So you agree with me that this rat, Julian Assange, is setting out with his cohorts, whoever they may be, to damage anyone who is a nationalist worldwide or to damage anyone who is pro-war. We both see that, correct?
Anybody who is right-thinking. Absolutely agree.
Okay. So therefore, why do you assume that these are... he's leaving out any cables that might hurt a leftist like Gordon Brown, for example. I'm sure Gordon Brown would have been embarrassed by... Forget me. I'm sure some of the things Gordon Brown wrote would have damaged him amongst his liberal friends. I can just guess, because I've met so many high-powered people who claim to be Democrats who, when they meet me, behind the scenes, are all telling me they're not really that left-wing. I'm finding out more and more that more of these people who are claiming to be centrist Democrats agree with 50, 60, 70% of what I believe in. And they're only faking it to be a leftist because they're afraid of their own shadow. So where are you going with your thinking? What are you alleging beyond what you said?
What I'm saying is that by buying this hook, line, and sinker, we're all being sheeple. We're giving up our have no way to independently verify anything. So believe what you're going to believe, but there's no way to prove it.
So do you think that the New York Times and the Drudge Report did the world a disservice by publishing the leaks?
I think you're going off on a tangent now, but to answer your question, no, I don't. I think if it's out there, the toothpaste is out of the tube, Michael. There's no way to get it back in. The question is, what's real and what isn't? We'll never know.
But wait, let's go back to whether it's real or false. Why did he select the New York Times, a left-wing paper in England, and I forget which other paper, to release these two over the last several months? I mean, he has been leaking to these newspapers for quite a while, right?
The question answers it. Who else is going to publish this drivel?
Well, Drudge jumped on it today like it's the Holy Grail. What's that all about?
Why not? He'd be remiss if he didn't. He's obligated to.
I didn't say he isn't, but you can't accuse him of being a left-wing dupe, can you?
No, I can't. In my heart.
All right, so if the left-wing is not the only group now talking or releasing the cyber documents, what is it that we should be doing right now? I think what you're saying is we should restrain ourselves from leaping to judgment.
I think that's one thing. Yes, I think restraining. I think start asking more questions. I think it begs the question.
Do you agree with me that this guy from WikiLeaks is wanting to commit suicide by e-leaks? How is he going to survive this?
I don't know how he survived up to now.
Now you're saying something that needed to have been said. He has been hinting that he was going to leak these for months now, hasn't he?
Of course.
So why is it that none of the government stopped him?
So it
tends to confirm what you're alleging, that some of the governments wanted these documents leaked.
Okay, so let's say they did. Which ones are true and which ones aren't?
The chief WikiLeaker, who the U.S. promised today to prosecute, said his internet site was just beginning to unload its diplomatic secrets and said the documents will skewer the, quote, lying, corrupt, and murderous leadership from Bahrain to Brazil, close quote. Do you believe the Australian Julian Assange is sane for having released these documents? Do you think he's going to survive this?
I don't think he's going to survive it, and I think just because he's blowing his own horn and he's making himself out to be this wonder kid and this prophet, I say bunk. Why?
So he's sort of the cyber Daniel Ellsberg of our time. Would you say that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, instead of calling this the Pentagon Papers, we can give it another quick name, you know. We could call it WikiGate. Now they can jump on that now, and Drudge can pick up on that and not give me credit, and Rush can use it tomorrow. But let's call this WikiGate, and that he is the Daniel Ellsberg of the cyber world. But he's not going to wind up the way Daniel Ellsberg did with a nice house in Mill Valley, is he?
There's something much more nefarious about this son of a...
Yes, there is. There's something bizarre, because Ellsberg only attacked the U.S. government and the Defense Department, which was a rather safe target. He knows he lives in a great country that would never go after him and murder him in the dark of night. He knew that, Ellsberg. He's just a coward like all the other leftists. But Assange is now taking on Russia, Italy, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, France, Germany, the United States. How in the world does he expect to survive this is what I'm asking. But you have raised another question. He has been hinting he was going to do this for months and nothing's happened to him. How is that possible?
How is it not possible?
Well, if he hasn't been harmed, it means that the governments are behind the leak.
Thank you.
That's what you think, correct?
Yes, I think it's pretty obvious.
I mean, we're just using common sense and logic. Something's wrong here. Because anybody who would really embarrass all of these elements and all of these power forces wouldn't survive and never would have been able to release these by now. I mean, he's been hinting at it for months, if not years now, since that 22-year-old punk in the military was arrested. He's been saying that he's going to do this. How did this happen, I'd like to know. So you're saying it's happened because the governments want it to happen.
Yes, but it's to serve their other purposes as well. Look, 250,000 cables. Imagine for a moment 250,000 individual pieces of paper. Which ones are true? Which ones are provable? Which ones aren't? And people love to believe things that can't be proved. You tell me if this doesn't smack of conspiracy.
Well, Clinton said that there is nothing laudable about endangering innocent people. Nothing brave about sabotaging peaceful relations between nations. You think she's just blowing smoke?
Yeah.
And the Attorney General says that this is an active ongoing investigation. It's not saber-rattling.
Please, the Attorney General is more interested in protecting handbags in Chinatown and on the Internet than this.
I saw the FBI raid of the handbag police. I saw that.
Obfuscation. This is obfuscation on a galactic level, Michael.
What? I'm not going to ask you something else, Sal. What field are you in? Are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not.
Can you tell us what field you're in? I'm just curious myself.
I'm a middle-aged guy who's working hard to just try and think for myself and try and figure out what the real deal is. My hero is Murray Burns from A Thousand Clowns, a free thinker.
Yeah, there's not too many Murrays around, are there?
There aren't.
Well, Representative Peter King from your area wants WikiLeaks declared a foreign terrorist organization. Do you think he's gone too far?
I don't think he's gone far enough.
Why? You just said that you don't know how much of this is real and how much is false, but a lot of it's real, and it does. Who does it really harm?
All it has to be is one thing to be real for it to qualify as espionage, doesn't it?
Yes, but I'm saying who is it behind it? You're saying it's not Julian Assange. You're saying it's the governments themselves.
Michael, I don't know who's behind it. I wouldn't want to hazard a guess. I'm open. I don't know.
Well, okay, let me say this in conclusion of this incredible conversation that we're having, which is going to continue all week, believe me. Much of what's occurred tonight on this radio show will be heard tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow on lesser shows that copy this show. I have the greatest callers in the world. It's astounding to me who calls this show. Ordinary people with extraordinary minds. The very people who built this country still exist. The very people who saved this country still exist. Only they're never heard from except on very rare occasions. The question I'm going to raise, though, is another one. How can this kid survive this? How in the world could he survive this unless these very powerful interests he's attacking want him to have leaked these things? For example, I mean, he says that Russia is in cahoots with the Russian mafia. How is it possible for him to say that and survive?
Bilderberg? I don't know. They'll take care
Russia
of them.
Is disappearing some of their own journalists. Anyone who steps out of line is either given a polonium sushi sandwich or something worse. So how could this kid get away with this is what I want to know.
It's just a matter of time, I guess.
Well, I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty to read in your own privacy with Murray, the clown. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I think it's time for us to do more than just talk about how terrible this is and actually take positive action. WikiLeaks is a foreign organization. The information that it disseminates is used by terrorist organizations. They know it's being used by terrorist organizations. That will be used to kill Americans and carry out attacks against the United States. So clearly they are working with terrorist organizations. I believe they've become one themselves.
So Peter King, firing from the hip, says that WikiLeaks is a terrorist organization, and he's calling for all sorts of actions against them. I actually agree with him, but today we have gone a few steps further, I think, on the Savage Nation. Many people are doubting the veracity of many of the cables. Many people are asking why they are. I'm the only one who have asked so far why none of these cables directly damage the leftist agenda, why almost every so-called released cable attacks only those who are pro-nationalism and pro-war, no matter what the country. Now you say, well, but he's also attacked Hillary Clinton and Obama, so you're wrong. But you're not seeing the bigger picture. What you don't see is they didn't attack Hillary Clinton on any of her left-wing agenda points. They've only attacked Hillary Clinton when she stepped out of the communist doxy and expressed even a scintilla of nationalistic America protective ideas. So in other words, just as all communists have done from the beginning of the communist movement, they are merciless in punishing even their own kind. If anyone steps out of line so much as one iota, they are ripped to shreds by the internationalist movement of the internationalist socialists and communists, which is why they're attacking Obama, because Obama's not a left-wing dupe enough. Although he is clearly a pan-Marxist and a pan-Leninist, as I point out over and over again in Trickle Up Poverty, apparently he's not far enough to the left to these psychotic men at WikiLeaks and whoever's behind them, because where Obama is not politically correct enough, he is attacked. You'll notice he is not attacked for any of his left-wing ideas or ideologies. So think about that, digest it. I'm the first to say it, not the last. I declared it to be, well, you heard it, didn't you, Wikigate? Where would you see it first? Who will steal it
Savage.
First?
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Late yesterday, more than 200,000 State Department documents turned up on a website called WikiLeaks.
This is very, very damaging to the United States.
It also hurts the human rights activists.
Collect the credit card and frequent flyer information of foreign diplomats there.
The American people are very proud of their transparent political system.
The individuals responsible are going to have blood on their hands.
The embarrassment, the damage.
Open and transparent government is something that the president believes is truly important. But
as a spy, aiding and abetting the enemy.
Classified information and its dissemination is a crime.
That person shall be guilty of espionage.
They know the impact it's going to have against the United States. They know it helps groups like Al-Qaeda.
Capture him and bring him to justice on espionage.
That will be used to kill Americans and carry out attacks against the United States.
This is the savage nation. However shocking some of the revelations leaked by WikiLeaks are, what the so-called head of a responsible organization doesn't seem to understand is that secrets are necessary for the functioning of a state.
It understands that we are a responsible organization. So it's trying to make it as hard for us as possible to publish responsibly in the hope that it can get us to not publish anything at all. Because not publishing anything at all would mean not publishing the abuses by that organization.
Well, the Obama-appointed attorney general is on the case. But Eric Holder isn't really giving me much hope through the statements he is making. They seem rather wimpy.
Along with other members of the administration, I condemn the action that WikiLeaks has taken. It puts at risk our national security, but in a more concrete way. It puts at risk individuals who are serving this country in a variety of capacities, either as diplomats, as intelligence assets. It puts at risk the relationships that we have with important allies around the world.
All the while, America's top diplomat, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, has condemned WikiLeaks, saying that not only is America attacked, but the whole international community is being attacked.
This disclosure is not just an attack on America's foreign policy interests. It is an attack on the international community. The alliances and partnerships, the conversations and negotiations that safeguard global security and advance economic prosperity.
I think Representative Steve King has it right. And this kind of condemnation is the kind that makes sense to me.
I think it's time for us to do more than just talk about how terrible this is and actually take positive action. WikiLeaks is a foreign organization. The information that it disseminates is used by terrorist organizations. They know it's being used by terrorist organizations. That will be used to kill Americans and carry out attacks against the United States. So clearly they are working with terrorist organizations. I believe they've become one themselves.
We have been talking about the WikiLeaks scandal and the reactions of the media, as well as the Obama administration. Now, on the one hand, these embarrassing, damaging disclosures, which are probably the most embarrassing and damaging disclosures in decades, are very dangerous. I believe that it makes us, in some ways, less safe. On the other hand, it's actually interesting to find out what's really going on. Now senators are saying, prosecute the leakers. And police are investigating the man behind WikiLeaks. France is saying that these leaks threaten democracy. Representative Peter King says the website leaks are terrorism.
There's no doubt there was a mistake by the United States government, but there was malevolence and evil intent by WikiLeaks. Just because a bank leaves its door open doesn't mean that the bank robber has the right to come along and steal all the money. The fact is, in this case, WikiLeaks knows what they're doing. They are taking documents which they're not allowed to do. They know it's going to be used to kill Americans, to put Americans at risk. So therefore, they are the evil culprit here. And the fact that the United States may not have been careful enough is no excuse at all for us not going after WikiLeaks. Now, the significance of doing this is that if it is designated a terrorist organization, we would have the right to impound their assets, to seize their assets. We could prevent people from contributing to them, donating any services to them, including free legal advice. So we put them in a different category, and we give us the advantage I think we need. And I think it's time to be creative. It's time to think outside the box. The world is changing all around us. I believe we have to change with it.
Eric Holder orders a criminal investigation. Palin says Obama administration handling of these leaks shows that he's an incompetent president. There's a lot of news. It's huge news. And we're going to talk about this for the next few days because these WikiLeaks are a big deal. One of the most interesting discoveries in all of these is that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia suggested that Guantanamo Bay inmates be implanted with an electronic chip containing information about them and then allowing their movements to be tracked with Bluetooth. The king added that this was done with horses and falcons. I think the king knows what he's talking about. The king also wanted Obama to attack Iran, that is, take out Ahmadinejad. Again, the king was overridden by cowards inside the U.S. State Department who have put us at risk through their passivity and their socialism. Anyway, 250,000 dispatches reveal U.S. foreign strategies. Diplomats were ordered to spy on allies as well as enemies. The Saudi king urged Washington to bomb Iran. Inappropriate remarks by various personalities came out. There are suspicions of corruption in the Afghan government, with one cable alleging that Vice President Massoud of Afghanistan was carrying $52 million in cash when he was stopped during a visit to the United Arab Emirates. He denies taking money out of Afghanistan. Also, there are allegations that Russia and its intelligence agencies are using mafia bosses to carry out criminal operations, with one cable reporting that the relationship is so close that the country has become a virtual mafia state. These are in the WikiLeaks. I don't know how this man has survived this. I really don't know who he is. I have no idea why this guy seems suicidal to me, this Julian Assange. By taking on the entire world and world leaders, what does he expect to happen? There are devastating criticisms of the UK's military operations in Afghanistan by U.S. commanders. We find out that Iran smuggled arms to Hezbollah on ambulances, as I said before. We found out there was a dangerous standoff with Pakistan over nuclear fuel. What else is in there? It's amazing. We saw that American officials sharply warned Germany in 2007 not to enforce arrest warrants for CIA officers involved in a bungled operation in which an innocent German citizen with the same name as a suspected militant was mistakenly kidnapped and held for months in Afghanistan. Let me pause right here. This is very important. Now, at the risk of sounding self-centered, you'll notice that virtually all of the leaks push forward a liberal agenda. Almost every leak supports the left radical agenda, anti-war, etc. There is not one cable that was released that in any way embarrasses the left wing, is there? Not one. The only leaks that were culled by this psychopath, Julian Assange, were those that support and promote the liberal or left-wing or socialist internationalist anti-war agenda. Now, this brings me to Michael Savage. Now, listen and hear me out. Whether you like me or not, listen to what I'm about to say. I am the only American member of the media banned from entering the United Kingdom. I have the third largest radio show in America. I am an adamant conservative. Wouldn't you think that if I was banned from England, which I have been and still am banned from England, there'd be one cable about this, whether in the UK or in the US going to and fro, or within the UK itself? Sure, there's plenty of cables, plenty of emails. But this left-wing group, WikiLeaks, would never release such a cable or cables or emails, would they? Because they would be seen for what they are. And so, as I say, the entire agenda of this psychopath and this hacking into secret cables is going to undermine the world's democracies, and the attempt here was to forward the left-wing socialist agenda. But let's go back to me again. Can anyone listening to this show rationally say that there are no cables or emails discussing why Michael Savage ought to be banned, how to ban him, why not to ban him? I know there are, because some of them are in my book, Banned in Britain. Yet none of them have been published thus far by WikiLeaks. Why? Because it would embarrass somebody or some individuals in the U.S. State Department, in the Bush administration, number one. By the way, I was banned in October of 07. I learned of it in May of 08. Therefore, it occurred during the Bush administration when I was roundly criticizing his behavior about Wall Street, for example, which I cover in Trickle Up Poverty. That's right. In my chapter on Trickle Up Poverty on Wall Street, you will see that all of the Bush appointees were complicit, in my opinion, in the meltdown of our economy. Just around that time, somebody in the Bush administration told England to ban me. Since they could not push forward the fairness doctrine in America, since they could not push forward banning me from America itself, They did it through the back door, through England. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, be very careful about how 250,000 cables were leaked, and ask yourself why there are none of these that have leaked that seem to embarrass the left wing in any way. How is that possible? How is it possible? Virtually everything that has been leaked makes the conservatives look bad, make anyone who's behind nationalism or war look bad. Not one cable seems to attack anything that the left has done. I'm the only one in the media who seems to see this. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I almost feel like now moving away completely from the politics of the day and almost going into the bars I drank in. The people I ran into, how I feel a little hungover today. I always do very good shows when I have a slight hangover. Not a very severe hangover, but a mild hangover is very, very good for radio, I find. And I've always found it to be very good for radio. I don't know what it is. Let's see, what did I do? So as the curtain of night descended upon the Savage Nation's host, yours truly, Michael Savage, I wandered up to the district known as North Beach in San Francisco, the more or less still Italian district of the city. Actually, I didn't go directly there. I walked up California. I have a certain walk I like, which I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to be, let us say, accosted on the way. But I walked through Chinatown on the way to North Beach because I love Chinatown. The reason I love to walk down Grant Avenue at night is because it gives me hope to see the small merchants closing their stores at night, raising their gates, securing their wares. It reminds me of my father's little store down in New York on Ludlow Street, how they would close the gates at night and lock it up and look with a love at the merchandise that fed their family. Now, you don't see much of this anymore in America. Most of us are so removed from merchandise and being a shopkeeper. But in essence, the small businessman, the small businesswoman, is the core of the capitalist system and always has been and probably always will be, despite the dominance of the great corporations. The small businessman is the key to the survival of a capitalist nation. Anyway, to make a long story short, I also like to see the Chinese people. I like hearing, as I walk down the avenue, the young men, the vigorous young men practicing martial arts in the upstairs studios, either through the drums are also part of the martial arts. I hear them practicing Taekwondo in some of the studios. I mean, I hear everything. I'm like Vincent the Blind Man, if you want to know the truth, because as I walk, although my eyes are open, so are my ears, and I have very sharp ears, and I listen to the sounds of the street. I don't have to know one word of Mandarin to understand what's going on. And I say to myself, you know, this gives me hope. And the reason it gives me hope is because I know that the Islamo-fascists will never conquer the Chinese, not in China nor in America. I said, are you kidding me? You're telling me these Tongs are going to let the Islamo-fascists dominate their neighborhood? Never in a million years. They disappear without you even knowing what happened. And there are so many other ethnic enclaves in this country that will never fall under the sway of the sword. That's all I can tell you. They have faced the conqueror in the past, and they have driven the conqueror out. Of course, there are. If you want to get into the history of China and its conquest, then it was conquered by the Muslims at a certain point. But I won't go into that because you don't know that half of China is Muslim and a good half of China was Muslim as a result of conquest. But in the United States of America, I can tell you right now, they don't even know this is going on. These people live in their own world. And it's kind of nice to step into a world that is separated from my world. So I walked through the Chinatown, as I said, smelling the garbage in the street. And walked across Broadway, now you're suddenly stepping into the garlic world, the world of garlic and jazz, so to speak, and you're into the Italian district. And for some reason, I went to a place that I haven't been for years. I used to hang out there a lot. It's an Irish bar, and I looked for my friend because I hadn't seen him in years. I stopped hanging out up there a number of years ago, and I went into O'Reilly's Tavern, and there was Miles, an old friend of mine running an Irish tavern. And we talked. I said, how's your son? He's 10 years old. Now, I haven't seen him in 5 years or more. I remember when he was a little boy in the bar. And I said, you know, I still remember your English, your Irish, what was it, an Irish, what do they call those, giant dogs? Help me out here, I forget it. And you know those big dogs, whatever they're called, the Irish something or other. No, not an Irish setter, they're gigantic. They're hounds, they're giant. He had a dog, Fionn, they only lived to six. I love this dog, I watched him grow up in the bar. This dog was so big that he, like a foot was as bigger than my dog Teddy's entire body. And one of the most beautiful dogs in the world, but he died at six. I said, you know, Miles, I remember your first dog, Fee. And he says, oh, I had a second. And he died too. He says, now I have a third, just a wee puppy. He still got the Irish whatever. I'm sorry I don't remember the name of the dog. I'm feeling kind of silly right now. I can't. But, you know, it was nice going in there. But on the way in, two guys offered to buy me a drink, and I never accept a drink from a stranger. I'm just that kind of girl. So I didn't accept the drink from the strangers, but we got to talk. It turns out that they're sheriff's deputies from another county in California who just happened to hear my voice and say, I can't believe our luck, and we talked. Have been talking about the WikiLeaks scandal and the reactions of the media, as well as the Obama administration. Joining us now with a report on his opinion is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael, for having me on with the Savage Nation audience and you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to spread a message of health, freedom, and liberty. And, of course, this week, really interesting news, the WikiLeaks thing that's going on in the Obama administration. I'm tempted to offer some dandelion to help with their bladder control here. Because the leaks are happening so bad. I'm wondering if somebody's sabotaging from within or without. But regardless, we have enough fun in talking about the Republicans sabotaging their own agenda for limited government. Big story that has been touched on over the months here as well. The FDA would like more power to regulate all food that humans in the United States consume. In other words, we don't have enough intelligence to decide what foods we want to eat. We need the FDA to have even more power to boost inspections for so-called bacterial contaminations, E. coli.
Well, of course.
And on the surface, this so-called Food Safety Modernization Act could fool a lot of people into thinking, well, you know, who would vote against food safety? Except there's only one organization in government that could make food safety an oxymoron, and that would be the FDA.
Exactly.
This has been delayed a number of times because the groundswell of opposition to more government regulation, to larger bureaucracy. You already have a $4 billion FDA budget. And here we have, the big government Democrats and some big government Republicans being swept out of office for the new session here coming up. And in this lame duck session, yet they're still on the precipice of increasing the scope and cost of government by increasing the power to the regulator that never met a toxic pesticide that it didn't like and never met an organic food that it didn't somehow criticize as inferior to that which was designed by Monsanto, for instance. Now, under the Senate Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act, there would be increased inspections and such, but there's really strange draconian legislation in here that would end up harming small family farmers, potentially regulating what you can grow in your backyard, whether you can save seeds or not. And, you know, again, all in the name of food safety, but yet it would tend to counter the free market, where, of course, people would be drawn to, you know, farms that have good practices, that are not big agribusiness corporatism-type groups that get money from taxpayers, in fact, to promote an intoxication of the soils, a genetic modification of that which is grown there. And then, again, even Al Gore, of all people, has backtracked on his idea from years ago that we should, you know, grow corn for alcohol, and how that it's actually worsened the environment.
Right.
Now, this bill is interesting because both Republicans and Democrats, until they started hearing from the people on this, was basically looking like it was going to sail through. They had a vote on cloture prior to the Thanksgiving break, and yet they had to stall the bill because they're just trying to scramble to say, how do we deal with this uprising, similar to a Tea Party, but maybe even more broad-based because of all the Americans now waking up to realize that their food has been tainted and contaminated by FDA regulation more than protected. And, of course, the threat to health freedom and food freedom is something that the American people seemingly are taking much more seriously now. So you'd think that the Republicans, if they're going to go back to their small government roots, would be backing off of support here, and to some degree some have. But you've got Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid making deals now with Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn, who is expected to make an amendment to place a moratorium on spending for earmarks or pet projects in lawmaker states and districts, which basically has nothing to do with this bill. But because if he gets this in there, an earmark that he wants to ban earmarks for, then maybe he'll support it against the free market here. That would certainly take care of food safety much better than a federal bureaucracy that's an over-budgeted and bloated bureaucracy that is anti-freedom.
An earmark in a so-called health bill to ban earmarks?
And if you think that this bill is not something to be concerned about, just look at what the Department of Homeland Security has done. You know, under the auspices of the Patriot Act and the Patriot Act II, violations of Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. Now the Department of Homeland Security is seizing websites without a due process simply because they claim copyright infringement. But how long till we see political grabs of websites that are speaking out against, for instance, the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA groping? Because we've seen this week almost litmus things as if people are being asked, well, what do you think about all these people rising up and saying they don't want to be groped, they don't want to be x-rayed, and now they're indicating that these people may be put on watch lists.
What
is it? We're all guilty for simply wanting to travel by airplanes now. Is this the concept of innocent until proven guilty? That's thrown out now under Patriot Act, Department of Homeland Security, Transportation Secure, TSA. And, of course, now you trust that the FDA is going to protect food? No, it's going to protect big food agribusiness against the people who wish to eat whole, organic, unprocessed, non-genetically modified foods.
Well, this is the very thing that the socialists promised to do away with. And if anything, they have increased this kind of scam.
Yeah, and I've asked this question about where did the left go once Obama became president? Because weren't they supposedly the champions of civil liberties? They didn't want invasive searches without warrants. And suddenly now they're deathly silent. The TSA groping, you got the crazy ladies of The View saying, one of the congressmen that's promoting an anti-TSA legislation that would make them actually liable for criminal acts when they grope children and x-ray them like anybody would outside of the TSA be in great big trouble. And yet they're, you know, accusing these people against this infringement of our liberties as to be terrorists. They're actually using that word.
What, it's okay now because Obama's in charge?
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean, if there are people of principle, there are very few, either on the right or the left here. We've covered some of those exceptions, and you have certainly over the years. But we have to be diligent to understand that our problems are not solved in the same place that they're created. We had a problem in Washington, D.C. It's not a government deficiency disease. It's a government proficiency disease, much like many of the chronic diseases for which we've covered as well. The abject growth of diabetes, or saying one in two Americans are going to have this or pre-diabetes within 10, 15 years from now, due to not a lack of government intervention and FDA oversight, but because of there's basically too much. There's corruption to such high levels that the hopes for the Tea Party so-called takeover of the Republicans was that they'd actually come back to their senses and, restore constitutionally limited government.
Oh, right.
And right now the jury is definitely still out. I realize we're still in a lame duck session. But do we see in January things really taking a turn for the better, or are they just going to, for instance, raise the debt ceiling the next time that comes up because, oh, well, we can't yet tackle the debt. It's an emergency. And, of course, the claim of an emergency is perpetual. It never ends. And if people understand anything about the rule of law, they should know that the rule of necessity, in other words, they say it's necessary, the rule of necessity has no law. Therefore, there will never be constitutionally limited government again as long as we continue to claim everything's an emergency.
Well, it's what Rahm Emanuel once said, don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah, and you remember that with this Senate Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act, it was in response to this strange, sudden E. coli contamination of certain farms that were, in fact, not small organic farms, not small family farms, but were coming from large factory farms using sewage sludge and horrendous techniques that the FDA already had authority and been warned about, but just didn't act. So we are supposed to reward the federal bureaucracy when they fail with bigger budgets and more power? Can it get any more insane? I don't want to answer that question in Washington, D.C., but it certainly looks like we're on the precipice of more insanity.
Exactly.
You know, over the time we've done some of these interviews together, Michael, I've called for the separation of science and state. I've called for the separation of food and state, because the state tends to screw everything up it touches, except for that which our founders had the vision to say, hey, let's limit and contain and cage these potential criminals by the Constitution, something that's been seemingly long ago abandoned. And we're on the precipice of something we covered a year ago with the documentary film House of Numbers, which really went into the scientific controversies and corruption, in fact, on the issue of AIDS. We've got billions, hundreds of millions to billions of taxpayer dollars. This happened in the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, and now the Obama administration, throwing money at a problem that is seemingly less and less backed by valid science.
Well, throwing money at a problem never seems to work.
The question of the very cause and origin, as we look at the drug proficiencies, those that have been on antibiotics for years and years and years, those that lack certain essential trace minerals, nutrients, we've mentioned selenium, and how all of these things can result in immune deficiency and even immune collapse, and how for fractions of a penny on the dollar, we could be looking to nutrition to restore ailments around the world and even in our own country, as we've talked about the growth of diabetes. Yet all of the scientific community, in lockstep with big government and corporatism and big pharma, typically snuffs out an inquiry into these nutritional causes or nutritional deficiency causes of any of these diseases, including immune deficiencies, for which we should insist on scientific integrity. And perhaps the only way we can do that is demand a separation of science and state, and not church and state. I'm less worried about that, believe it or not.
Where can we read more?
Michael, have all your listeners check out more at robertscottbell.com. And once again, thanks for your support of Health Freedom.
Thanks for the report, Robert. This administration has been anything but transparent with their intentions or their actions. In my book, Trickle Up Poverty, you want to see transparency? Go see the transparency that I expose in Trickle Up Poverty about Obama's attack upon our national security and what he intends to do in the next few months during the lame duck. See what he intends to do about everything you call freedom, all in Trickle Up Poverty. And what needs to be done is stopping him. 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
People over 30 can't multitask. They can't multi-hear. They grew up doing one thing at a time. The younger generation can do multiple things at a time, but all wrong. They're able to multitask, but they do everything wrong. They can't write a letter correctly. They can't type correctly. Nothing. I never saw anything like it. People do everything wrong, no matter what you ask people to do today. They can't get anything right, particularly if they're under 50. They can't work. They don't want to work right. I was raised in a time when the work ethic was king. I mean, you had to work. You had to work, and you had to do a good job. It was an honor. It was a mark of a person's self-respect, dignity, manhood, to be a worker and a good one. That's how I was raised. It was drummed into me from early childhood. And then you wake up and you see children. They won't clean a boat. They won't clean a house. I mean, pay them. You can't find an American kid, a white kid, to do any kind of work. They won't clean a boat. They won't clean a house. They won't babysit. They won't walk a dog. They're a bunch of spoiled drug addicts. An entire generation of children raised to think that the world owes them a living, and they walk around with a snotty attitude that I don't know where it comes from. You know, I got to be harsh about this. I watch, you know, I largely live in the suburbs. I stay in the city part-time, and I move around through many locations for obvious reasons. But a lot of my time is spent in the safe white suburbs, so to speak. I mean, let's call it like what it is. No matter how liberal they say they are, they don't want anyone around them who doesn't look like them, even though they vote lib. That's the way they are. And you watch them in their child raising, and sometimes you have to shake your head, whether it be a young mother who probably is on a prescription drug herself, and all she's obsessed with is her abs, feeding her child a jelly donut and a cocoa in the morning on her way to school, along with his Ritalin tablet, knowing nothing about diet and a child's behavior, nothing. And she doesn't want to know about it. All she wants to know is to get the brat into school so she can go have the affair or go to the exercise class for 4 hours. Whether it is a pair of white parents who are a little older than I was when I had my first child, taking a brat to a restaurant, 8, 8:30, 9, I shake my head. When do they stay home with them? When do they stay home? Don't they do homework? Isn't there a safe time to go to a restaurant where you don't have to listen to? And the crayons. Fine dining around a kid with a crayon or a coloring book? I can't even digest when they pull out the Crayolas. Why are they in the restaurant with the child with Crayolas educating them? And they always do it to show how smart they are and the child is. Last night I went to a place. It was downscale Italian. I figured I could escape it, but no, it got worse. There was a father at an adjacent table. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. I had to take the food home. I had to leave. Now, he wasn't a bad guy, don't get me wrong. But I had to listen to an entire lesson. As the children are eating, he says to them, during the Cuban Missile Crisis of the 1960s, who was president? I'm not making this up. And the children have to repeat to the father, who was the attorney on the U.S. Supreme Court? And I'm trying to eat. I couldn't even get a piece of bread down my gullet. So as I say, I packed it up and left. What is this lesson at a dinner? Why do I have to hear it to understand you're a smart, liberal man and you're intelligent and your children are as bright as you and they're going to learn to screw everyone around them when they grow up like you do for a living with your law degree? That's what you're telling me? That they're not going to be like the ordinary person? They're going to learn how to screw everybody just like daddy? Why do I have to hear this? Is there no hour when there are no children? Now, look, I love children. I raise children. But at a certain point, it seems to me it's child abuse to have them in a restaurant. So I say to myself, don't they do homework anymore? I know they don't babysit. I know they don't wash a car or a boat for a buck. They don't do chores. Do they do homework? No, unless the homework is how to put a condom on a cucumber or how to learn how racist white people are. Or to learn that marijuana is healthy for you and tobacco. I mean, tobacco is bad for you. Marijuana is healthy for you. So is there no time of day? When I raised my children, if we went into a restaurant and the kids started to make any kind of noise, I immediately picked them up and I went out of the restaurant. I talked to them. I said, look, there were other people. And even if they didn't understand me, I said to them, you can't make noise in the restaurant. There are other people eating and they want to have a nice dinner. So please, if we go back, you can't make noise. You can't make one of your famous cocktails out of the salt and the pepper and the ketchup and the mustard and the soy sauce and mix it and pass it around. No, you can't make that famous cocktail that you two like to pass around with each other because I'm liable to puke on the table. That's in the Chinese restaurants. They used to make a cocktail. Do you have any idea that that's the reason the ancient Sumerians stumbled upon beer? It was because of times like this. When you have a situation like we have today, that's why the ancient Sumerians stumbled upon beer. You know how the story goes, don't you? Well, I may as well tell it's as interesting as any, having studied this for years, all of this stuff. Our theories, no one knows. I mean, the ancient Sumerians look like my uncles to me. I mean, I see the pictures, renderings of them. I guess I descend from Sumerians because they all look like my relatives. But the way the story goes is, somebody ate some grain, some type of wheat dish or whatever in the area there, the Mediterranean basin. And they spat it out. I know it's disgusting. They didn't eat it all. I was like, ugh, this is disgusting. Again, another night of grain? I'm sick of grain. I don't care how healthy they are. I don't want it. I'm a pew. Ah! And they spit in the plate, but they were starving. Days later, they went back, and there was nothing to eat but the grain that they half masticated and discarded in the plate. And the guy ate it. Ugh, disgusting. I eat this guy.
And guess what? His wife didn't look like she had a mustache for the first time in 25 years. His ugly little children looked like he could deal with them without wanting to throw them out of the cave door. In other words, he got drunk. Why? Because the half-masticated masticated grain matter that he spat up fermented in the cave during that period that it was sitting there, and it was produced some alcohol. And that's apparently one of the theories as to how alcoholic beverages, better known as adult beverages, developed in history. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I'm glad I could share this moment with you. Another moment in Savage history on the Savage Nation. It's actually probably, according to what I've read, true.